Hi, you're tuned to Truth News Radio on the 9th of April 2016. Welcome to the show. My name's Hereward Fenton. In today's show, which is going to span 2 hours, we are going to be talking about sniffer dogs. In the second hour, I have a guest coming on who is an activist who's worked in New South Wales on a number of causes in relation to coal seam gas and a few other things about urban transport in Newcastle. But most recently, he put up a video onto Facebook which illustrates police operations involving sniffer dogs, which are very, very common in Sydney, and the video was filmed in Sydney, and have been so for many years. Now, the video itself has generated a storm on Facebook and has gone viral with over 1 million views, but it's also generated a massive amount of hate speech against this man who quite reasonably and politely filmed this operation. Obviously, he doesn't agree with it, and neither do I, and that's why I'm doing the show today. I think it's very important to understand this infringement on our civil liberties. And the whole issue is actually, like many issues, there is a debate about the efficacy and validity of the technique and the technology, in this case the technology being dogs, used to do this type of search. And there is also a huge debate about the civil liberties aspect, although that debate in Australia is very muted. In the United States, where I'll be bringing more information to you from, the debate is actually quite lively, and there's a lot of information, and there have been a lot of Supreme Court cases, many of which have gone in favour of the defendant in cases where people have been unreasonably searched by police dogs. This is a huge topic. Now, in the case of the video from Sydney that was filmed, unfortunately, it has just been overwhelmed with this incredibly negative, incredibly hateful and really quite outrageous attacks on a man who actually just exercised his rights to film what was going on. And many people, it seems, in Australia don't actually realise that it is completely legitimate and legal to film police sniffer dog operations or any other type of police operation that is taking place in a public space. I might just begin with that topic because that's very, very important. And it's very important to you as a listener to understand. You've got to know your rights. If you're out on the street and you see something happening that seems not quite right, you're completely within your rights to take out your camera, your mobile phone, or whatever it may be, take some photos, shoot some video. Now, I've got an article here from the Sydney Morning Herald from March 2013. Police are naive to tell the public not to film arrests. Police in a violent arrest during the Sydney Mardi Gras displayed a level of naivety by telling members of the public to stop filming the incident, a senior police officer has said. The police need to be mature enough to know that everyone on the street basically has a mobile phone with camera capability and they are going to be filmed. Now, this is a case about an arrest that occurred during the Mardi Gras in 2013. New South Wales Assistant Commissioner Mark Murdoch said that by asking the person to stop filming, these officers were in breach of the New South Wales police media policy. I would suggest it shows a degree of naivety of the police involved who made these comments. We understand and accept and in fact support the right of the community to film anyone in a public space. Now, I've got a quote here from a lawyer which provides legal advice to Fairfax Media, who says it is legal to film anyone as long as you are on public property or have the permission of a property owner to film. If you're on public land or if you're in a situation where you have a right or an entitlement to use the land from which you're filming, You can film you or me or the police or whatever is going on, and there's not a general prohibition on you doing so. So this is very important to set the groundwork. Police do not have the power to prevent a person from taking photos or filming, to confiscate their photographic or filming equipment, delete images or recordings, or request that they be deleted. Now, this has happened many, many times. Recently in Australia, I've been following some of the cases where this has happened, and these officers are acting completely outside the law. Now, there are exceptions. Apparently, if the police have been given special anti-terrorism powers, or if the filming of the images amounts to offensive conduct. But those are the only exceptions, as far as I can see. Now, I'm going to play to you the audio from this clip, and we'll be discussing it in detail in the second hour. And you can see that the man who filmed the video, his name's Peter. He runs a Facebook community group called Save New South Wales. He's very polite, and he's very reasonable in everything he says. He simply doesn't want to answer questions, for which he is perfectly within his rights to do so. So I'll just play to you the clip here, and of course we'll have this link up on our site so you can actually watch the video that goes with it. And I'll be bringing you some more commentary and a lot of other relevant research and articles on the whole topic of sniffer dogs. But here we go with this video from Save New South Wales. It's titled Sniff Off at Central.
I travelled from Gosford to Central Rail in Sydney, where I was swapping from the country platforms down to the suburban platforms in order to catch a train down to Circular Quay to go on a cruise. I'm loaded up with a large suitcase and two pieces of hand luggage, which makes a subsequent question from this officer absolutely ridiculous. So, what did I see in the way of New South Wales police resources? 10 uniformed officers plus a dog handler are carrying out a sniffing operation.
I'm going to record this session.
So that you're aware
that
I am recording this session.
Thank you, sir.
Now there's my ticket. Oh, you got a reader, have you?
Yes, I have a reader. Back on Gosford, 11:24. Well, this morning, 11:24. Oh, I guess that's 2 hours. That makes sense. I thought it was a bit later in the day. Okay, that's it. Is there any reason why you're filming us, sir? I mean, given the current terrorism climate and stuff, sir, I'm just saying. So, what was your name, sir? You have me at a disadvantage. My name's on my name tag. What about you, sir? What's your name, sir?
Do you reasonably suspect that I have committed a crime, witnessed a crime, or are giving me a move on order?
I'm not doing any of those things, sir.
Okay.
Okay.
You have my answer.
Okay. Well, why are you at the railway station, sir?
Well, you've already got that answer.
Why is that? What? I didn't get that answer. You didn't tell me why you're at the railway station.
I respectfully decline to answer that question.
Okay. Well, if you're not travelling, sir, well, then there's no actual reason.
Why do you say that, sir? I'm not travelling?
Well, you haven't given me an answer as to why you're at the railway station, sir. You didn't give me a straight answer. You just said, I respectfully decline
to answer the question.
Okay.
So, well, therefore, you cannot conclude anything.
Well, if you're not travelling, sir...
Hang on. How can you conclude I'm not travelling?
Well, you've just said that you respectfully don't want to answer.
Yeah.
This is going in a circle. Have you got any mental health issues at all, sir? I'm just saying. I'm just putting it out there, sir. Okay.
I respectfully decline to answer.
Okay. It's like, it just seems that you've got the camera on me, but... Yeah.
So, welcome to the fascist police state that we have in New South Wales. Well done, Mike.
Okay, that's basically it. It's just a very short video. And unremarkable, really. Not particularly significant, other than that that he's documenting something that is going on, which many people feel is an infringement of civil liberties, and he's well within his rights to be doing that. And certainly we need to have a debate about these things. Laws have been put in place to legitimize this activity, but as you'll see later on in the show, where I'll be talking about Supreme Court rulings in the United States, the laws can be changed, and they can certainly be changed by challenging the police activity. Of course, we have a different constitution here in Australia, and we don't have exactly the same protections that they have in the US constitution, but what happens in the US tends to be often reflected in Australia. And it's totally reasonable to expect that we might, and I certainly hope that we do, see a challenge to this type of activity taking place, especially just on people who are commuting, who are simply going from point A to point B, where there is no probable cause, there's no reason to have suspicion, and you're actually invading the personal space of these people. And many people feel intimidated by dogs. So there's a whole lot of reasons why this particular activity is something that a lot of people feel very, very uncomfortable about. Now, what's perhaps more surprising about this than just the content of the video is the bizarre avalanche of hate speech directed against this man. And as you'll see in the pre-recorded interview that's coming up, he explained to me that he is already known to the police for his other activism work in relation to coal seam gas. And he's had a lot of problems with some of his Facebook posts, which are politically directed, being removed as a result of campaigns from people on Facebook who are acting as operatives of the government, or it's hard to say exactly what, but perhaps coal seam gas. It's hard to say. We don't know for sure. But people acting as operatives of interests which he is challenging are getting together to report posts which are themselves quite innocuous on Facebook, and he's having posts taken down, and he's actually occasionally had his account banned for a period of 30 days, which is a very common thing that happens when a post is reported on Facebook. So it's not unreasonable to assume that something is up here when we see thousands upon thousands of comments, most of which are a short, blunt, rude, extremely, actually quite offensive, and I'm going to read some of them to you, just a small sample. It appears that this is actually a campaign of intimidation. You're with Truth News Radio Australia, talking about sniffer dogs today. We've got a two-hour show coming up. It's going to be really good. Stay with us. You with Truth News Radio, and today we are talking about sniffer dogs. And in the second hour, we've got an interview with a man who filmed a sniffer dog operation at Central Railway in Sydney. Now, I've myself witnessed many of these operations. They're very common. They occur inside train stations, they occur outside train stations, they occur at bus stops, they occur in public venues, they occur in pubs, bars in the Sydney area, where the police will come in with the sniffer dogs, where people are relaxing, having a beer, maybe having a meal, and the dogs will come up and stick their nose up very close to you. And people have actually been searched in these contexts. I've witnessed it. Other friends of mine have witnessed it. And quite often people are searched, taken outside, given a quick search. Sometimes they're strip searched. Sometimes they're told to pull down their pants in public. And in the vast majority of cases, nothing is found because it's a false positive, because this is an endemic problem with these sniffer dogs. And I'll be getting into a lot of more detail on that as well. So it's a problem, folks, for society. It's a problem for our basic quality of life and our feeling that we can go about our day without this terrible interference in our private lives. And of course, it is quite reasonable and legal to film these operations, yet shortly after this post going up on the Save New South Wales website, it was inundated with hateful comments. I'll just read you a few of the ones that I've selected, which are nasty. They're all nasty. I mean, most of them are just really abusive and use a lot of swear words. So I'm not going to read those to you, but believe me, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of comments like that. Just one-liners, just basically expletives, right? But here is some of the more articulate of the nasty statements. He is stupid enough to blow something up to get attention. If someone lynched him for his behaviour, I would watch and cheer. In fact, I'd call in a prank incident to the cops and send them in the other direction. Now, of course, the policeman in the video alludes to the fact that there is a problem with terrorism and that the police are there to protect us from terrorism. But we have fairly conclusive evidence that the particular operation in place was actually a drug-sniffing operation and not a bomb-sniffing operation, and you'll find out more about that in Hour 2. So this particular comment is basically suggesting that the man filming is some kind of crazy terrorist, and he's actually encouraging lynching of this man. Next, another comment. Don't be surprised if someone knocks your phone off you. Then who are you going to cry to? Another comment. Cops should be allowed to CS pricks like you for training. Now, CS is a euphemism for Counter-Strike, a popular online team-based first-person shooter game. The game pits a team of counter-terrorists against a team of terrorists in rounds of competition. So this person is basically saying you should be basically shot up by the police in a training simulation. Stop harassing police, dickhead. The constable already advised you that they were doing a counter-terrorism drill. Just wish a dry ice bomb went off so you can poo in your pants running while filming. Again, I've eliminated some of the expletives in these comments. Everyone just report this loser to Facebook and get this group shut down. There's just a few comments. So we have a situation where we've got the police engaging in practices which are an infringement on civil liberties, but we've got giant mob basically trying to shut down free speech as well. So we've really got quite a lot here to be concerned about. Now, we'll get into this more in the second hour, but there is evidence that these groups are using faked Facebook accounts. It's been used in the past. It's been used as a political tactic in countries around the world, and there is software available that allows you to basically puppet Facebook accounts. So you can basically do counterintelligence. You can spoof social movements, and honestly, the powers that be do find this sort of thing very, very tempting, because they want to manipulate public opinion. They want to do social engineering. And it's become more and more common that political leaders are using social media to try and get their message across. So it's certainly not unreasonable to hypothesize that this may be taking place. But if it is taking place, it's something you should be very, very concerned about. I mean, it is such a sabotage of democracy that we just need massive amounts of attention on this. So I do hope that you really think about what we're saying in this video today, in this audio today, and have a look at the video and pass it on. We need to build up some kind of awareness and some kind of movement. Now, I'm going to talk a little more about the issues around sniffer dogs, the effectiveness and also the legality and some of the underhanded techniques that are being used in relation to sniffer dogs. But let's begin with an article that was published on the Sydney Morning Herald in 2011. Sniffer dogs get it wrong 4 out of 5 times. A record 80% of sniffer dog searches for drugs resulted in false positives this year. That was in 2011. The figures obtained from state government in response to parliamentary questions on notice show 14,000 searches were conducted after a dog sat next to a person, indicating that they might be carrying drugs. But in over 11,000 cases, no drugs were found. Only 2,854 searches, 20%, in the first 9 months of this year resulted in drugs being found, the figures show. And let's be clear, in all these cases, the amounts of drugs are minor, they are trivial offences. They're basically just people with a little bit of weed in their pocket, maybe a bit of cocaine or a pill or something, a bit of speed. It is so disproportionate in terms of the effort and the expense that is undergone, in terms of what it's actually achieving. I mean, even if you agree with the laws against possession of various drugs, which I do not, and most people with a libertarian perspective completely reject, this is not really addressing that problem anyway. You don't solve the drug problem by busting people for tiny amounts of weed. You know, it's just ridiculous. Matthew Pells, 22, of Erskineville, a hospitality student, said he was one of the thousands searched in a public place and found not to be carrying drugs. Mr. Pells said a dog sat next to him at Redfern Station before he underwent a search about 6 months ago. When his pockets were emptied, a packet of dog treats was found. The whole thing was unnecessary, he said. I think it was a violation of my privacy. Mr. Shoebridge, Greens MP, has said that the figures showed thousands of innocent people were being ritually humiliated publicly. No test which has an 80% error rate could be considered a reasonable basis on which to conduct an intrusive public search of a citizen going about their daily business, Mr. Shoebridge said. And Mr. Shoebridge has called for the program to be halted, and I'm not quite sure where the Greens are with that at present. We're going to break, and with Truth News Radio Australia, stay with us, 2 hour show. We'll be right back. Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. And today I'm talking about drug-sniffing dogs in Sydney and New South Wales generally. And I was just talking there before the break about the Greens Senator Michael Shoebridge and his position being against the sniffer dogs. And I do have a more recent article here from The Guardian, actually, The Guardian in the UK. Sniffer dogs. Greens New South Wales renew push to end their use in stop and search. Program not only breaches civil liberties but is ineffective, says MP Jenny Leong, leading to thousands of young people being humiliated for no reason. The Greens New South Wales are renewing their push to end the police use of drug detection dogs in public places, a program they say is not only ineffective but harmful. Jenny Leong, the member from Newtown, has reintroduced an amendment bill to the New South Wales State Parliament that aims to repeal the parts of the Law Enforcement Act 2002 that allow the use of drug detection dogs without warrants on public transport, at festivals and in bars. Leong first introduced the private member's bill to the Legislative Assembly in May 2015, but it lapsed in November before it could be debated. She reintroduced it on Tuesday, the first sitting day of New South Wales Parliament. And this is from February, 16th of February, 2016. The bill is part of the Green New South Wales ongoing sniff-off campaign against the police use of drug dogs, which the party says targets young and marginalised people. The campaign's Facebook page routinely updates its close to 9,000 followers to the presence of drug dogs in public transport hubs, mostly in the Sydney area. According to statistics quoted by the Greens in January last year, passengers at Redfern Station were 6.5 times more likely to be searched after a sniffer dog indication than those at Central Station. And indeed, yes, Redfern Station is one of the hotspots for this operation. I've seen it myself many times because I used to travel there on a regular basis. Leong said the program was not only in breach of civil liberties, but ineffective, with thousands of people humiliated every year by these intrusive personal searches. She told Guardian Australia that the use of drug dogs encouraged people to think of the police as a force rather than a service to help them when they're in trouble. Leong said the program had also been proved by independent assessors to be ineffective. If in two-thirds of cases the police dogs are getting it wrong, why is it that the government is continuing with this program? We have to start asking whether it's just an attempt to intimidate people because it's not effective in targeting big-time drug dealers. And the Greens have a page, davidshoebridge.org.au/sniffoff. Sniffoff, no more drug dogs. The Greens New South Wales are the only major party in New South Wales that opposes the police use of sniffer dogs for drug detection. The use of drugs is ineffective at catching drug dealers, but excellent at violating civil liberties. So, now, actually, I wasn't aware of this Greens campaign, and the fact now that I'm aware of it, actually, it's very good and it's very positive, but it also explains more about why there's been such a massive attack on this particular video that we saw on Facebook. And many of the comments were claiming that anyone who supports the position that sniffer dogs are wrong must be with the Greens. But of course, this goes way beyond the Greens, folks. I'm not a Greens supporter generally. I don't support a lot of their policies. But on this one, I tell you what, I'm 100% on side. And I think we all need to kind of come together on this one, because there is a possibility that this legislation could be overturned and we could see an end to the use of this horrendous activity that's occurring on our streets in Sydney. Now, I want to shift focus. I want to talk more about the darker aspects of this, the more disturbing aspects of this. And we have to turn to the US because there's been a lot more research and a lot more cases come forth that demonstrate that the police have been using sniffer dogs more as a pretext to allow them to do searches rather than purely as an indicating technology. And that the police actually have ways of communicating with their dogs, non-verbal cues, that will lead the dog to give a false positive if they want to search somebody. If they very common in the US, the dogs are being used to do searches on cars. They don't seem to do so much of the pedestrian sniffing as what we're seeing in Australia. But there also dogs have been used to sniff outside people's homes, and there is a very important Supreme Court case in which that was proven to be unconstitutional. But let me play to you a video here from Reason.tv, and it documents a very, very disturbing case about a man who was initially stopped in his car, and then a dog was brought in, and then he ended up having a variety of searches, including anal probes. And it's a terrible story, but this particular video investigation gets into some of the issues that are unethical, downright illegal, in terms of the way the police are manipulating drug dogs to simply allow them to override constitutional protections. Here we go.
This is Timothy Young, a New Mexico resident who was pulled over by the Deming police force in 2012 for nothing more than allegedly failing to use a turn signal.
It started out as a minor traffic stop, but the next 14 hours would turn into a humiliating violation of a New Mexico man's body by police and doctors.
Young was subjected to a series of invasive anal procedures that failed to turn up any contraband. Why did such a minor infraction lead to an anal probe? The search was carried out on the hunch of this officer, Leo the dog.
Dubious instances involving canines are both frequent and deeply troubling.
If you are a cop and you have a dog, all you have to do is claim the dog alerted and you can search any car you want.
Jacob Sullum is a senior editor at Reason Magazine, who's written extensively about canine misuse.
The power of the police dog basically begins with the assumption that they don't make mistakes. Dogs do have a superhuman ability to smell stuff. There's no question about that. They really do. So it has to be a properly trained dog, and it has to be used properly. So you can't simply conclude, based on the fact that dogs have this well-known ability to smell stuff that humans can't smell, that any old dog is going to be able to do this.
This is Andy Falco, a former police officer and canine handler for the Anaheim Police Department in California.
Law enforcement sometimes gets an idea of who their criminals are in their particular city. They will motivate their dog or cue their dog to alert when there's absolutely nothing there.
Falco then demonstrated how easy it is for cops to manipulate a dog to gain access to your vehicle.
Hey, come here. There, search. And then they get to a point where they want the dog to sit at the back of the vehicle. And they go, what do you got? What do you got? The dog sits. Very easy.
The dog never smelt the narcotics. The dog never sniffed the car. And now, of course, you can say, my dog alerted on your car. And then they go, that's enough for us. And they go inside the vehicle.
There are no uniform standards for training the dogs or for training the trainers. Many departments do their own training. So they set their own standards. One of the cases the Supreme Court heard last year involved that very question: what does it mean to say the dog is properly trained? And they basically ended up saying, if the police department says he's properly trained, it's okay for judges to assume that that's true in the absence of evidence to the contrary.
Sullum points out that the accuracy of drug sniffing dogs is anything but a settled matter. A 2011 analysis by the Chicago Tribune of suburban police departments found that searches justified by a dog's alert failed to turn up drugs 56% of the time.
And we're just going to break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Today's show is all about sniffer dogs. Stay with us.
happens in terms of creating wars is a mind manipulation technique called problem reaction solution. And it works like this. And it works like this. First of all, you create the problem, but you get someone else to be blamed for it. You then report that problem through the media in the way you want it reported. You get the public to react to your problem by saying something must be done, this can't go on, what are they going to do about it?
Hi, welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. Today we're talking about sniffer dogs, and I'm playing to you a video here from Reason TV in the US. And they were just mentioning there that studies done in the US and Chicago have shown an appalling rate of false positives for the use of these dogs. So the evidence really is quite overwhelming that these dogs don't really do their job as advertised. But there's more to it than that, and we'll just play to you here the video. We'll finish off with this video, and I'll continue with that because it's very, very important to understand that the dogs are being used to give the police the ability to do things that normally they can't for legal reasons. So it's a violation. It's a perversion of the course of justice, really. So here we go.
Recent studies done by government inspectors in Australia found false positives of 74% and 80%. Yet a 2013 Supreme Court ruling insists that a court can presume that a dog's alert provides probable cause to search.
Of course, the police department is going to say their dog is well-trained. And of course, the reason why they might want a dog that was not that well-trained is if you have a dog that will alert on cue or alerts promiscuously just at random, that's a very useful tool for you to be able to search people that you have other grounds to think are suspicious.
I think there's an issue sometimes with the training. Some handlers in small departments don't have the budget to contract with somebody to get the training that they need. They perhaps maybe train the dog to find some odors, but they don't give all the information that's necessary. They don't teach the handler how to be effective. I've seen cases where somebody trained their own dog in their backyard and they take it to work and use it as a drug dog. That actually exists and happens.
Preventing future cases of police abuse isn't the only reason law enforcement officials need to set up new standards for how police dogs are used. Canines, when used properly, make us safer.
Just like a car, just like the gun, a dog is a necessary tool for every police department because they're that effective. The problem is we're going to lose them because we're not using them the way that we're supposed to.
Okay, I want to read to you an article here now from Daily Kos. Mounting evidence, drug and bomb-sniffing dogs just props to justify illegal searches and seizures. And this is from 2013. About a year and a half ago, a group of Nevada State Troopers, along with a retired police sergeant, filed a racketeering lawsuit against the Nevada Highway Patrol. The allegations are shocking, however, they are not surprising. The complaint alleges that the drug-sniffing dogs used by troopers in the program were intentionally being trained to operate as so-called trick ponies, or dogs that provided officers false alerts for the presence of drugs. The dogs were being trained to alert their handlers by cues instead of by picking up a drug scent by sniffing, the complaint said. When a dog gives a false alert, this resulted in illegal searches and seizures, including money and property, the complaint said. And this often happens in the US, is that a property is actually seized. So this is actually a very serious problem, and it is actually quite a serious criminal problem if it is actually taking place. The complaint also alleges the defendants, which also includes the state's public safety department, were involved in a federal RICO conspiracy, also known as the Federal Racketeer Influence and Corrupt Organizations Act. Forfeitures are a cash cow that funds police departments and solicitors' offices. They are also a source of corruption, illegal searches and seizures, and motivation for police to break the law, often with impunity. So, I don't know to what extent that type of thing may be happening in Australia, and I don't know what our laws are in Australia about the seizure of property. I certainly don't think that these shakedowns at Central are involving anything like that, because, you know, what property would there be to seize? But it's very important to understand the global context of this, that these drug dogs have been associated with improper and illegal activity by the police, and that the dogs can easily be trained to give false alerts. Now, dogs have also been used in the United States to justify searches of private residences. And there is a quite an important case, Florida versus Jardines from 2013, which actually has reinstated some important protections for citizens. Florida versus Jardines is a decision of the United States Supreme Court, which held that police use of a trained detection dog to sniff for narcotics on the front porch of a private home is a search within the meaning of the Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution, and therefore, without consent, requires both probable cause and a search warrant. In 2006, police in Miami, Florida, received an anonymous tip that a home was being used as a marijuana grow house. They led a drug-sniffing police dog to the front door of the home, and the dog alerted at the front door to the scent of contraband. A search warrant was issued, which led to the arrest of the homeowner. 27 US states had supported Florida's argument that this use of a police dog was an acceptable form of minimally invasive, warrantless search. In a 5-4 decision, the Supreme Court disagreed, despite the three previous cases in which the court had held that a dog sniff was not a search when deployed against luggage at an airport, against vehicles in a drug interdiction checkpoint, and against vehicles during routine traffic stops. The court made clear by this ruling that it considers the deployment of a police dog at the front door of a private residence to be another matter altogether. And in the US, this all hinges around the concept of what is a search, and it is not regarded as a search to have a dog sniff around outside a car. But I've been searching and I haven't really come up with anything in regard to dogs coming up to people and actually sniffing them more directly. Actually, there is one case I saw, and I don't actually have it to hand right now, but there is one case which I think was upheld where the man said that a dog had actually come up and sniffed him in his crotch, and that was actually regarded as an unreasonable search. Now, in the case of Sydney, where we have these routine dog operations, this is actually happening all the time. I mean, I've been approached by these dogs. They come up very close to you. When they're used in the airport as well, the dogs come up very close to you. And I'm sure every now and then they have a quick sniff into the groin. You know, it's pretty hard to stop it. Dogs tend to do that. And given that they don't do these sort of routine sniffing operations much in the US, if at all, I think it may be because it would actually be, in many cases, a violation of the Fourth Amendment. It would be a warrantless search. Now, in Australia, I don't think we have the same protections in our Constitution, so we can't cite the Fourth Amendment. But we need to take into account all this information that's coming from the US, and we need to get behind the Greens campaign. I think we have a strong possibility of overturning the legislation that allows this to take place in Australia, certainly in New South Wales. Now, I should point out that recent research has shown that mice are much more effective at sniffing out drugs and bombs than dogs. And in Israel, there are moves to start using mice instead of dogs to sniff luggage at airports. And of course, the use of these techniques to identify explosives is actually very valid and important. I certainly don't think that should be stopped. But the use of it to randomly kind of intimidate people to go into crowds of people with these dogs, even if it's in the case of a bomb detection operation, I think is actually just terrible. And there's a case recently, and there was a photo that was viral, I think it was on Instagram, that showed the police at a public pool in Sydney. And initially it was thought that this was a drug sniffing operation and people were sort of up in arms about that. But later on it came out that it was actually a bomb detection operation. But, you know, when I started thinking about this, I realized that it's almost worse as a violation of both people's rights and an endangerment of the population, that they would take police on a bomb sniffing operation in a public area if there was a belief that there were actually bombs planted in a public swimming pool. Surely the first thing that they should have done would be to evacuate the pool. Because imagine if there really were a bomb in a public pool with a whole lot of people sitting around in there bathing trunks, and someone had a bomb in their Speedos, right? Presumably that would be the place where it must be concealed, right? And the police come in with the sniffer dogs. What's going to happen? The terrorist is going to detonate. He's going to push the button. And the mere presence of the police with their sniffer dogs is going to create a tragedy. So if there were a belief that there might be a bomb in a public space, the only sensible and reasonable thing to do to protect the public would be to evacuate that public space, not to send dogs in among people where there might be a bomb and provoke the bomber to detonate. It's a terrible, terrible thing to do. And I think if you just consider this for a moment, really ponder it, you'll realize that that using sniffer dogs in crowds of people for bomb detection is an abuse. It's almost treating everyone as expendable, everyone as a potential criminal, and who cares if they all get blown up? We're at the end of hour one. Hour two coming up, my interview with Peter from Save New South Wales. We're going to get right back into the sniffer dog issues and expand onto more of questions about police powers and laws in New South Wales. So stay with us. It's going to be a great second hour. Right back after the news break.